This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Alabama's number one in the poll. LSU's all the way up to number two. Let's talk about that and a lot more with Paul Feinbaum. Bring him in.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, loader works, rental works, yeah! Big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
And Paul joins us each week on the Natty Seltzer Hotline, courtesy of Craneworks. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good morning. And you know, I heard you say what you did a minute ago, and it's still, even though we should be used to it by now, the idea of waking up on a Monday morning and checking the line for Tennessee, Alabama, what is it, 35, 36 points?
Yeah.
It's just, man, I guess we won't be playing a lot of Rocky Top this week.
And that was with Tennessee coming off a win, Paul. I mean, that's Tennessee, maybe their finest moment of the season Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, what does that say about Joe Moorhead and Mississippi State? But that's maybe for another day. But it is still, it's weird, guys, because this was going way back, the coolest week of the year. I mean, Alabama-Auburn always has trumped it in terms of the rivalry, but it was at one time a rivalry game that both sides had fun with, embraced each other. I remember being in Knoxville in Birmingham where Tennessee fans went out with Alabama fans, and then all that changed about 20 years ago.
Your show played a huge part in it, Paul.
No part to you, right?
Yes.
It did. And for those young enough not to remember, a lot of back and forth went on in the aftermath. And I believe it was 2001 in the recruitment of Albert Means. Phil Fulmer played a big role in accusing Alabama of cheating. It started for about 4 years on the Feinbaum show. It was the biggest story going with allegations. It was a little bit similar to what's going on in Washington right now with all the fake news and witch hunt allegations. That's how it was going back then, and it was good. It was great radio. In the end, Alabama got slammed, and somehow lived to see another day. And Tennessee's a program that hasn't been able to find itself back.
Yeah, I sort of wish this political cycle in D.C. had a 10 stud, though. That would turn this up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there were characters. I mean, just you can go back and read articles about it, but there were characters that were just priceless. And it's sad because the game, it's not even interesting anymore. And, I guess somebody will stay up till, what time does this game start?
8 o'clock. Yeah, it's Pac-12 after dark. Paul Feinbaum is with us. I look at the AP poll when it comes out yesterday, and there's LSU. They jump up over Ohio State and Clemson. They're number two. It's Alabama one. It's LSU number two. And all of a sudden, we're talking about a game of the century again. Maybe your thoughts on where those two teams are right now.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that will hold up, but it could. I mean, Ohio State has a lot of real estate between now and November 9th to deal with, and should they, you know, put a big win on Wisconsin, they could inch up a little bit. But you know, I think, and check me on this, I think we had a 1-3 game last year that we hyped up, and it didn't live up to expectations. I think this game has the potential, though. The difference between this year and 2011, by this point in the season, we were already talking about the game in Tuscaloosa, the 1-2 matchup, because there really was nothing else, and there was nobody else on the horizon. This year, I think I can't remember a year when there are this many teams that could make a legitimate claim for number one. Obviously, Alabama, LSU, and I guess Clemson probably could make a faint-hearted claim, although I don't think anyone would pay attention. And obviously, Ohio State, but at least on paper. It's son of game of the century. Although I think LSU has so much to deal with before then, and I'm not trying to hype the game at Mississippi State this weekend, but it has classic trap game written all over it. And then there's Auburn.
Paul Feinbaum is with us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline. He joins us each week from ESPN and the SEC Network, courtesy of our friends at Craneworks. Look for that big dog dominating Birmingham skyline as it has for decades. You could have convinced me in the offseason a lot of things might have happened in the Southeastern Conference, Paul. But as this season has started, South Carolina winning at Georgia would not have been one of them. That was, to pure and simple, a terrible loss by Kirby Smart.
It was, and spending the weekend over there, I had a couple of encounters with Kirby. I interviewed him during lunch on Friday, and then he came by our show Friday afternoon, and he seemed pretty focused. Now, I mean, listen, you know, I think sometimes coaches say things and we laugh, and he said all the things that he says every week about how concerned he was, and I laughed because there was simply no reason to believe that South Carolina, forget the North Carolina game. It was, you know, getting destroyed at Missouri, had anything left to deal with. But when you have the turnovers that you do, that Jake Fromm had, and the field goal kicking that Blankenship had, you're going to invite yourself into a very difficult game. I think for Kirby, it was one of his worst losses against someone not named Nick Saban. And I think it will be very interesting to see how he deals with it. Last year, he dealt with the LSU loss effectively. He came right back and beat Georgia in 2 weeks, and you could tell it was the fire he lit the fire under his team. And, I saw him before the Florida game in Jacksonville, and he didn't guarantee it, but he almost guaranteed it. I don't know where they go right now, because this is a shock to the system. How many times have you guys heard somebody whisper to you, "Hey, this is Georgia's year"? Well, they have a very difficult climb, and I'm not saying they can't do it, but I didn't see anything Saturday or even really at any point this season that makes me believe it's going to be their year. Did you guys?
No, and you know, to compare it to last year's LSU game, coming out of that game, you just felt like it kind of snowballed on them. Tough place to play. LSU's a good team. This just doesn't have this feel. This feels like a really flawed team whose flaws finally got magnified on a national stage.
I had friends of Kirby Friday and even in the Friday night in Athens say, listen, Kirby played it a little bit conservative against Notre Dame. We had a couple of injuries. And I can buy that. I mean, it was a 13-point game and Notre Dame scored late or whatever it was. But this was different. And it wasn't – they play noon games all the time. It's not like the first time they've ever played a noon game. And it wasn't like a 110 degrees in early September. It was a 80-degree day in Athens. They just got destroyed up and down the field early on. And even then, they almost pulled it off. But nationally, a lot of people are just saying, forget about it. We're moving on. But I'm not quite ready to do that yet. I've seen Georgia being resilient. I know they have the players there. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of whether he can bring them back.
I don't want to be misheard here that I'm saying the talent level is anywhere near the great Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles, but there is something for this generation special about when Fowler and Herb Street and that crew is on the call, and rarely do we get a primetime SEC game that those guys get this deep in the year, but they had one over the weekend, and it was a good show. It wasn't 13-10. It was an exciting football game. What does that mean for the conference, too? And did you see that game that way, too, that it was a good showing for the conference?
It has no – it makes no difference where I work and with whom I'm friends with. But I have to say the CBS approach to the game are getting tiresome. There's no comparison, that primetime game on Saturday night. And then you flip over and watch the Alabama-Texas A&M game. I mean, I still – forget that Vern Lundquist is not doing the games. I mean, Brad Nessler is a very professional broadcaster, but he doesn't distinguish himself like Vern did or Keith Jackson did. And, you know, Gary, you guys want to fill in the blank? I mean, what can you say about Gary that hasn't already been said by 1,000 of your callers? Fowler has grown into, I think, the preeminent voice in college football, and Herb Street's been that way for a long time.
Paul Feinbaum with his thoughts on CBS on the way out the door there.
I'm being as honest about it as I can. I mean, I don't find the CBS games very compelling. CBS clearly made a mistake Saturday. I mean, they didn't even get the second best game of the day.
That's a good point. You're right. They would have been better off at Athens.
And there will be quite a bit of debate about their decision to go with Georgia Notre Dame in prime time. I mean, how stupid does that look now, guys?
Yeah, I agree.
As we said here, and I was fighting for him. I said you have to put Notre Dame on, but as I said here today, it seems stupid.
Yeah, I mean, what the thing we discussed, Paul, is which one do you think will get the higher rating? And right now, Alabama, LSU, you're right. Ohio State, Wisconsin is a big national game. I think around the country, Alabama, LSU has renewed interest. It had become a stale game, but I think a lot of people around the country think, and right or wrong, I don't know if they're right yet, we'll see, think that this is the LSU team that can get over that hump.
There's no question. We've been there before, and I'm not a soothsayer, but at some point this LSU team is different. I mean, there's no question. They are the most exciting LSU team I can ever remember. That's neither here nor there. But the CBS decision. I mean, listen, you make your chop. You get your chops in this business by making the right call, and the people at CBS blew it. I mean, they're sitting there right now with the game of the year, one of the biggest games in the last 10 years. And they could have had it in prime time as the biggest game of the year in the college football season. And it's literally buried at 2:30 in the afternoon with 4,000 other games going on.
Paul, I don't know about that, Paul. We had a good game, I thought.
Paul, thank you for the time. Have a great week.
Sean McDonough is on line one. I got to run.
God!
Yeah. His voice cranks all the time.
Paul was scared for just a second that we'd pulled one of his show techniques of having Gary on the other line.
Oh, well, Paul, we got Gary from Fort Lauderdale.
Gary from Tuscaloosa wants to talk to you.
Feinbaum with us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline, the hottest spiked seltzer on the market. Two great flavors, cherry lime and mango peach. He joins us each week, courtesy of our friends at Craneworks. Look for that big dog dominating Birmingham Scott.